Well, I want to again thank you all for the opportunity to be here today. It is always a joy to be here at Springwoods, and we appreciate very much the dedication that you all have for the Lord. For my last lesson this morning, I want to talk about love. I don't know how Austin knew that I was going to do that, but I want to talk about, I really entitled it, The Love That Encircles Man. And you may see a little bit better why I entitled it this when we go to a particular song in our songbook, which if you want to be turning to 255 in the Red Book, I want to look at that song in a great deal of detail because I think it expresses very well the concept I want to bring forward. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, Jeremiah writes, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Now, this statement is made to Israel of old, and yet, at the same time, I think we can find a very rich application of the words themselves to what God has done in Jesus Christ. After all, the Father draws us unto Himself through Jesus. Jesus Himself pointed that out. No one comes to me except the Father draw him. And thus we have a drawing unto Him, but it is done in love. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So sending Jesus into the world was the plan of God from ancient times. It was the plan of God in love to draw men unto Himself. And so I want to go to this psalm in our songbook, number 255, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And with this song, I want to point out a few things. And with it, I want to do a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about this all-encompassing love that God has for us, that even in the worst of sin, He wants us. He yearns for us. He longs for us. You know, men get the concept of God's love wrong. For example, there is a church on Queenston. I don't remember which denomination it is. But they, as a permanent part of their sign, after the name of that particular denomination, it speaks of the unconditional love of God. And of course, the point that they would make out of that is God's love is unconditional. And since in God's love He wants us to be saved, and because His love is unconditional, therefore salvation is unconditional. Well, that logic doesn't actually follow. Just because God has unconditional love does not mean that He gives out salvation unconditionally. But that is not to detract from the greatness of God's love, how truly wonderful and encompassing it is, how it encircles us. And if we will let it, by our looking unto His love and appreciating and with gratitude reciprocating to that love, we come into His grace and we become His children and we are saved. So very quickly, I want to get to the song itself, number 255. And I want you to notice the first phrase in each of these verses. O love that will not let me go, O light that followest all my way, O joy that seekest me through pain, and O cross that liftest up my head. Now there's something really noteworthy in each of those phrases that if you're not careful, you never really notice. But it is something that is important to understanding what our lyricist has in mind here. Look at those phrases again. Would you notice that in each of those phrases, there is there is a noun that is not a proper noun in each of these, and yet, although it is not a proper noun, it is capitalized. O love that will not let me go. Love is not a proper noun, and yet it's capitalized. Why is that? O light, it's capitalized. O joy, joy is capitalized. Cross is capitalized. The question is why? It's because the lyricist is telling us that he's not simply talking about love grabbing us and holding on to us. Love here is a description of God. This is God. God will not let me go. The light here, the light is God. God followeth all my way. God is joy. He seeketh me through pain. God is seen in the cross. It was God that brought Jesus to that cross. And it is God that lifteth up my head. But love, light, joy, and cross is the way in which God does that in each of these cases. And so he says, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. Notice that we begin with what God does, but then we quickly move to what our response then is. Resting my weary soul, yielding my flickering torch. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. In all of man's evil, wicked moments, in all of the depravity that we involve ourselves in upon this earth, God still holds out his love to us. In Romans 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul told the Romans that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it would not have been difficult if we had been trying, if we had been on our way to him, if we had been seeking him. It would have been easy if God could look down and say, oh, look, we're close to a breakthrough here. And mankind is really softening up, and mankind is beginning to love me the way he should. I'll send my son to die for him. That wasn't it at all. Instead, while we were still sinners, and he uses this term as well, enemies, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. This was the love of God, the love that doesn't want to let me go. In 1 John 4:10, John writes, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, the word propitiation is a technical term for atonement. He atoned for our sins. One very interesting statement in this song is the beginning of verse 3, when he says, O joy that seekest me through pain. He seeks us through pain, but it's joy that seeks us through pain. In the midst of all the trials of life, God still has as an aim for us joy. Not, ha 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 ha. We think of happiness. Happiness and joy are not necessarily the same thing. When we think about happiness in this life, when we think about the immediate gratification of certain desires and needs and wants, and yet joy is something that is held to be deeper in Scripture. And it comes not by getting our own way, but instead we find that it comes through God himself, even in the midst of trials. In James 1, verses 3 and 4, here James writes, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We don't count it all joy because we love the pain and the sorrows of the trials. We count it all joy because we know the outcome. Oh, joy that seekest me through pain. Knowing that through that, we are then disciplined to draw nearer unto God and to rely, yes, less upon ourselves and upon what this world has to offer for us. You know, our part of abiding in the love of God, it truly is expressed in this song in each of these phrases. And so, as we go on here in the song, verse 1, for example, after saying, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. The next verse, after saying that the light followeth all my way and I yield my flickering torch to thee, my heart restores its borrowed ray. It is so essential that we actually view ourselves as giving back to God the ray that should be His to begin with. It's in our service to Him. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain. Rainbows are not always easy to see, are they? There are times when you have to be looking for them. Far more often, I think, Marilyn has seen the rainbow before I did. And in fact, in some of those cases, I'm sure I wouldn't have even noticed it. Just raining cats and dogs. And some of the times, you have to kind of be looking for it in order to find it. And in this life, that is so true regarding the pain that Satan brings upon us and the pain that becomes a discipline that God might bring upon us. In all of this, there's a rainbow. But we may not see it. We may not see it, but our job is to trace the rainbow through the rain. To look and to see it. Why do you trace a rainbow? To see where it goes. The point isn't a pot of gold. It's not about leprechauns. Where does this rainbow go? This rainbow goes to eternal life, doesn't it? That's something we can't see. We only see it by faith. And we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. But while we may see it by our faith, we can't see it by our sight. And that is the primary sense that we would use. And so we have to have a concerted effort to trace that rainbow through the rain. If I see nothing else through the storm of life, I have to continually see the star of eternal life beaming on the horizon. And then the last verse, O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. What does that mean? This all goes back to crucifying myself. It's expressed perfectly by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Here, again, is the very same idea expressed by Jesus when he said that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow after him. Paul writes in Romans 6, 5 and 6, For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, when we sing this song, we're singing not just about God's love, but we're also singing about our effort to reciprocate. And God has given his Son on the cross, but now I must lay in dust life's glory dead because I've crucified myself for the Savior who died for me. And then in each of these verses, we come to a wonderful outcome. So beautifully expressed by this author. Now, I'd like to point out that in the first two verses, we have expressions of this world. You know, a lot of times we think, well, the only reward is eternal life. Well, we have a reward of joy in this life, of true satisfaction, and of great hope. You know, without hope, we don't live. Without hope, there is no life. But we have great hope. But then in the last two verses, we sing about the wonderful glories that are presented by our God. So now we look at the whole thing. And after I give thee back the life I owe in verse 1, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. The light that followeth all my way, I yield my flickering torch, but my heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. That morn is eternal morn. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. What beautiful, beautiful words. And of course, our wonderful lyricist here, he could not have composed them without what the Bible tells us and what God and Jesus did for us. In life and in death, to be emphasized here, we are to see the joys that God gives from the standpoint of eternal life and the life that surrounds us now. The last two verses express eternity. How wonderful, even in the face of what seems to be doom, what a wonderful, glorious morn we have in our Savior. And we find the happiness to be found in living for God's will in this life now, because we have that great hope in Him. So I want to ask you, how does your life reciprocate the wonderful love of Jesus Christ? I want to sing this song now. Now that we know what it is, let's just sing it. Now, I want you to pay very careful attention to the words. You're hiding from all of the benefits that cross actually offers. Are you hiding from the cross? Come out from hiding. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Give Him your life, your heart, because that's where the kingdom is. That's where your King wants to be. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?